Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for the weekly Daily Gizwiz is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for the weekly Daily Gizwiz is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for the weekly Daily Gizwiz with Mad's maddest writer, Dick D. Bartolo. This is episode 1366, recorded May 26th, 2012. The weekly Daily Gizwiz is brought to you by Netflix.com. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, visit Netflix.com/twit. And now, get ready for Dick.
It's a brand new week and a brand new day and a brand new Daily Gizwiz. It's a brand new week and a brand new day and a brand new Daily Gizwiz.
The worse your life,
the better we sound.
It makes its own gravy.
The worse your life,
the better we sound.
The worse your life,
the better we sound.
Sound. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a brand new daily, weekly, Daily Gizwiz, starring Dick D and our special guests in studio, Bob and Jackie, who came all the way from Chicago. And Dick, they brought you mints. Here, would you like one?
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
You know, earlier, these are so good. The other, earlier, I was doing something with my left hand, and my right hand, without my knowledge, snuck a mint and popped into my mouth. It's just shocking. Wow. It's shocking. It actually it teaches your limbs to act independently. These are so good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, last time I was out there, you were talking, holding the mic with one hand and taking my wallet with the other.
The left hand, isn't it in the Bible that the left hand shouldn't know what the hell the right hand's doing?
Yeah.
I don't think it's phrased.
You're more religious than you realize.
They also brought me Chicago's finest from Frango. This is the same company that makes the mints, mint chocolate coffee.
Oh, now that
now, do you do flavored coffee, or is that verboten?
You know what? I do a little bit of flavored coffee because it sort of defeats the purpose of coffee.
Coffee has a flavor. It's coffee flavor.
Exactly. Yeah. I was kind of surprised. I went to, must be 2 months now, I went to Coffee Fest at the Javits Center.
Oh, and it was you never told me there was such a thing.
Leo, it was about 210 ways to ruin coffee. It was flavorings and frostings, and it was kind of amazing.
Coffee is delicious.
Is anybody making just coffee here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coffee's so good they actually make an ice cream flavored coffee. Ice cream, right?
Yeah. Now, you know, it's like Starbucks in the summer. They go in for their peppermint stick, corduroy, banana split, frambe, boule, latte.
I have to say, I look forward to Christmas every year because I always love peppermint and chocolate. Mint and chocolate go together, and that's why these mints are so good. I can't wait to try the mint chocolate. And then, so that was a good start, Bob and Jackie. You know, and they're old friends. They're wonderful people, and it's great to see them again. And then Rich came by, another old friend, who has the best job in the world. You know what Rich does? He's a chocolate salesman. Fred, I'm sorry. I call him Rich because he's rich in chocolate.
Well, that's your last chocolate sample, I would say.
I've been calling him Rich all day. Fred, thank you, Fred.
Yes.
Fred's from Richmond. That's why I'm confused. I thought it was Rich from Fredmond, and it's not. He's Fred from Richmond.
No, Rich from Fredmond is that he's visiting here.
But isn't that a good job? I sell chocolate for a living. And
now, ask him. Is he tired of chocolate?
Do you get sick of it?
I have nothing to do with consumption.
He's a diabetic. He can't eat it.
Now, there was a boss that was clever.
Here's the perfect chocolate salesman. He can't eat. Well, he's a pusher man. That's what he is, because he's brought chocolate dolls. But this is an interesting chocolate, Dick, because it's actually a high-tech chocolate. It's called CHO, T-C-H-O. Does that stand for anything, Fred?
Technology chocolate.
And the reason is that the president and CEO of this company is the guy, the couple who started Wired Magazine, Louis Rossetto and is it Jane? Yeah. And Timothy Childs. So what's interesting, these are all technologists, and they were kind of sick of doing tech startups, so they did a chocolate startup instead.
Oh. So it's like chocolate with real chips in it.
When they say chocolate chips, I mean, but now here's what's fun about this. This one is their special. I'm putting this next to my vitamins on the shelf. This is their 30 CHO a day, their dark chocolate supplement. So you put this on the shelf, and you get one a day. They call it the last good drug. And it also says this cap is not childproof. Children are encouraged to open this container. So
there's a vitamin?
No, there's no vitamins. There's just chocolate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But if you think about it, chocolate is good for one's spiritual growth.
Oh, I absolutely.
I sometimes confuse the size of my stomach with my spiritual growth. It's good for something anyway. No, but this is nice. Right. So I want to put this next to the vitamins, yeah. And every day I get one piece of delicious dark chocolate. Actually, it is good for you. Chocolate has some great stuff in here. It's got all sorts of, you know, it's got antioxidants, mood elevators. It contains phenylethylamine, which is good for euphoria.
Oh, you can never get enough of that.
No, the flavanols are great for your cells. Serotonin elevates your mood. The theobromine is good for your focus. And also
yeah,
in here.
Is there any chocolate in
no,
there?
No, there's no room for the chocolate. It's all. Anyway, it's very good for you. So I'm going to eat lots more.
One
of that.
A day, pal. One a day. Yeah.
Thank you, Fred, for bringing that. Thank you for bringing the mints and the chocolate and everything. Bob brought and Jackie brought that by, and I'm really happy now. I'm actually in a coma. But I feel fine. So, Dick, how was your – that's how my week's been. How's your week been?
Week is good. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend. And
Is there a parade in New York?
No, but, you know, there are a lot of ships in the harbor. You know, did you happen to see the picture I posted on Facebook? Just go to gizwiz.biz and click on Dick's – a log and blog. I went down to see, you know, 10 tall ships came in.
Oh, I love tall ships. I love them. Oh, look at this.
And they came in at 8 o'clock, and I thought it was 8 o'clock at night, but it was 8 o'clock in the morning, so I obviously didn't see them. So I went down at night to see them. I didn't realize that they light every mast on the ship. They look beautiful.
Beautiful.
But Leo, listen to this. You can see I didn't bring a camera, so all I had was my cell phone camera, my Droid 4. And you can see how far away I am. I stop my boat. I take that one picture, and the Coast Guard descends on me, evacuate the area.
What?
Yeah. The security in the harbor has finished off the rest of boating in lower Manhattan. I happen to know the rule used to be you cannot get within 900 yards or nine I think it's 900 feet, 300 yards of a ship or a dock. I am obviously from that photo.
Looks like you're
about
a mile away.
And yet I think it is that there were like four patrol boats in the neighborhood, and I was the only pleasure boat on the river. So they figured, well, if we don't chase him away, we'll have wasted our time.
You know, I actually think that the terrorists won. That they've made us so afraid.
You know, in a way, because it's obvious that first of all, I have a registered boat. My wait a second.
Unless you have a bazooka aboard, I don't think you're a threat.
Yeah, I have a registered boat with my numbers right on the side in plain view. It was really ridiculous. So anyway,
that's exactly the point of terrorism, and that's why they call it terrorism. People get scared
to do stuff,
and then and you can't, and life is over. You know.
Yeah. Dennis handed me a note, and you know about this place. There is a ceremony and a small parade at the Soldiers and Sailors Monument.
Yes.
Sure. And you know that's the beautiful little edifice up on 89th Street right. and Riverside Drive.
And this
the tall ships are amazing.
This is the tall ships. It's Fleet Week in New York City. So the fleet comes in. They may have been more worried about the naval vessels than the tall ships, I would guess.
They'd make a better
target. Look, here's a Japanese naval vessel. That's interesting.
I wonder how close you can get to that.
Yeah, it's the Japanese Navy ship, the JS Shirane, sailing in for Fleet
Week. Oh, wait a minute, Leah. I'm looking out my window, and there's a guy in a Coast Guard uniform telling me, get away from your window.
Go away. No looking. Only official photographers allowed. Holy cow. I do love tall ships. And
they're great.
There's the Blue Angels flying over. They're quite something to see. They've asked me three times now to go for a ride in the Blue Angels. And I have,
you know what? And
I've declined. I keep declining them. They want to make me throw up so bad.
Who ate fire?
I'll eat fire, but I will not go flying. My partner, Patrick Norton, did it. Yeah, he went up in the... In fact, somewhere, if I can find it, there's a video of him. Let me see if I can find it on here. Patrick Norton, Blue Angels. Because we sent a camera crew along with Patrick flying with the Blue Angels. Here's the video from the screensavers.
You finally got to fly.
Yes, I did. Well, you had the chance.
Twice I've turned down the Blue Angels.
Twice.
And after seeing the next tape, I am so happy. What did you do?
The once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I am not going to argue. I got to fly in an F-18 with the Blue Angels. It's the U.S. Navy's Flight Demonstration Squadron. They do hundreds of shows every year for air shows all around the country. Is there technology behind this? I don't care. I double-timed it down to the Naval Airfield in El Centro, California to catch my flight. Let's see what happens.
So they put a camera in the back of the Blue Angels, these beautiful F-18 trainers.
We're here at the Naval Airfield in El Centro, California. That's the winter home of the Blue Angels. Most recruiters, they show up with a folding table, maybe a little banner to go on the front, a slick suit and a bad tie. United States Navy, they show up with the Blue Angels and a stack of F-18s.
I'm lucky enough to get a chance to fly in one of the Blue Angels jets, but first, a little briefing.
My name's Sean Connolly. Been in the Navy for just under 6 years. Your pilot today is going to be Lieutenant Craig Olson. You got three ground rules. Number one, don't touch anything, okay? Lots of things in there that hurt you. Number two is don't take anything in there except what I give you. Number three is have fun. Tell people it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Sit down in there, kick your feet out in front of you as far as you can go. Go ahead and feel the rudder pedals. Directly in front of you is a number pad, like off your telephone keypad. It's our upfront control. It's the radios between
the pilot is
on the left-hand side.
In have a heads-up front, display. And then you're kind of sitting, I think you're sitting in the back.
In the front there, you're the back seat. The back. A couple things you might want to pay attention to is airspeed.
Okay. And altitude.
The primary thing that I like to point out, though, is your G monitor down here. Some of the effects on your body, you're going to feel some
Patrick
things you probably
doesn't look too nervous.
Best thing I can
he should have
to
been.
Do roller coaster ride.
Just going to say that. Maybe he should have been.
It's going to be great.
So they put a they're showing him how to clench, by the way. It's very important because during you take so many G's in here, the blood will all fly from your head into your toes, and if you don't clench during those moments, you'll actually pass out. So Patrick practiced, you know, clenching his muscles to hold the blood in your brain. Now here comes the pilot. Pilot's not wearing a flight suit. They're so good at clenching. They take pride in the fact that they don't need to wear a pressure suit, that they can tighten the muscles and keep the blood in their head and they don't pass out. You really don't want the pilot to pass out during flight. Patrick does look good in the back seat there. He's got a nice view. These are F-16s, I'm sorry. And Patrick's going to... There it is. Nice picture, right? Okay, let's watch. Let's watch Patrick Norton take some G's. See if he practiced his clenching.
Ready, hit it.
They're flying basically straight up in the air.
For redundancy.
And they're rolling.
Take the stick inputs. Depending on my speed.
They're turning. They're flying upside down.
Should we go out some front?
They tell you don't have breakfast before you do this.
Quick one to the right. Here we go.
Now watch carefully because Patrick's going to actually black out during this.
Hit it.
He's clenching as hard as he can.
He did.
the physical labor that's involved with the flying by just sitting here and watching it.
He's, so you get in the jet, he's basically looks like he's in labor. He's breathing across. Like that's it's Lamaze.
How are we doing? A lot of G there, huh?
This is why I didn't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what? This is the first wise decision you've made.
They keep asking me, though. There he goes. There he, and he's out. They keep asking me, but I just, you know, it's cool. I'm really glad that Patrick did it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
No, that is amazing.
Yeah. They didn't ask you when they came. Maybe that's why they wanted you to go off the river so you could get in one of the Blue Angels and go.
Yeah, that was probably it.
I wonder. Maybe they don't even do that anymore now in this.
As a person who's slightly claustrophobic, this would be the ideal situation for me.
You can see why I didn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This is a gadget show. That's the heck of a gadget, that F-16, though, I got to say.
That is good.
That is a very nice gadget. But I don't think we'll be buying one anytime soon. So maybe you should give us something a little more affordable.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go for natural, like perhaps one of the lowest tech gadgets I ever saw. You know, you're showing people your Thin Mints and your chocolate.
Yeah, what do you got there? It looks like that looks like a home canning jar.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like one
jelly?
Of those. The ball. Yeah, jelly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or...
It's a ball jar.
Preserves. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So basically, this is a safe. So.
Oh, look at that. That fooled me. It looked totally like homemade preserves in there.
You know, it's very funny because First Alert has come out with this whole line called Hidden in Plain Sight. And they have a Quickie brand bathroom cleaner spray can that's a safe. And they have a neat thing. They have a whiteboard that you put this on a shelf in the kitchen and has magnets to put recipes on. And it's a whiteboard, comes with the pen. You can write family notes. But the whole whiteboard lifts off and there's a safe behind it. So it's if you have really, you know, you want to put your will and your stocks and bonds and some cash in there. It's another way to hide something in plain sight. But when I did this spot, I taped it last Sunday for ABC. It was just amazing the number of people comes into the studio and go, hey, where's that jar everybody's talking about? That they said it looks just like it's preserves gone bad.
See, that's not good. You don't want too many people to know about this.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the other guy said, I bought beer cans that have fake bottoms, and after I bought them, I thought, you know, a thug's going to come in, steal stuff, and go, hey, I'm going to take a couple of cans of beer with me, too, for the road. So your stuff will disappear.
Yeah. I don't know what I got here. It looks like jelly. Let's see.
Yeah. That you don't want to go, oh, this looks like it's homemade, and it
I have to say,
over.
Though, that looks like a mason jar. And you know what I would do is I'd handwrite a label. That's
a very good idea.
Says something.
That's
make it disgusting. You know, grandma's horse hoof jelly or something. Something gross.
Although, you know, your grandma's horse hoof jelly, you know, you didn't like it. I thought that was really, it was pretty.
I think one thing you can say, it's good for the nails. Okay. It really is good. If you have weak fingernails, it'll really help.
Yeah. Yeah. But it brought me good luck, too.
The horse hoof jelly?
I think it's the horseshoes that she uses in it. With metal bits.
I like that. So that's from First Alert.
First Alert. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight. Not coming till August. I have pictures of them on my website. So there's going to be the bathroom cleaner safe, the ball jar jelly safe, and the whiteboard Hidden in Plain Sight safe.
One of these looks like a Pringles container.
Yeah, that one is the it's actually
that's the bathroom cleaner.
Yeah, the bathroom cleaner.
Yeah. These would fool me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of course, knowing me, I'd be standing there with the bathroom cleaner trying to spray it and nothing coming out, and I'd throw it out. So it's empty.
Oh, that would be good. That would be very
It's empty.
Good.
I don't need that anymore.
Nice. You know those that jar of preserves that has been in there. I threw that out too.
Toe jam jelly. I don't want any of that. Let's throw that out. Boy, it's time to clean house.
Ah.
So, and by the way, who keeps cash? like big wads of cash at home. Do people do that?
Well, don't you keep a certain amount of cash at home, a couple hundred bucks in case there's an emergency? You don't?
No, do you? Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. Why am I asking Dick? Dick has like backpacks full of dried food. He's prepared.
Yeah, exactly. I am prepared.
So chat room, you do this. You all keep a couple hundred bucks lying around just in case.
Yes, a couple hundred. There you go.
I figure if there's a natural disaster, your money's no good here. Better keep gold coins.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have gold coins? Because I don't.
I see, I'm stunned. My father never told me to do this. So you're saying it's good practice to have a few hundred bucks just somewhere in your house in case.
Yeah, if there's an emergency and you have to get out of town, you want to jump in someone's car, you say, listen, I'll give you $100, take me out of town.
This comes from the pre-ATM era, right? You can also go to the bank and the ATM's open 24 hours.
The computer's going to be down, pal. Once those aliens come down, that's the first thing they're going to do is cut the power.
Wow. How much would you say? How much would be $200 isn't going to, that's not even a cab ride to San Francisco.
I would say you should have $500 to $1,000 cash.
I better get one of these jelly jars. Jeez, no wonder you got all this stuff. Holy cow, you keep that money lying around, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I have a whole line of jelly jars.
All right. No, I'm screwed if there's an emergency. Somebody sent me an earthquake light.
Yeah, nothing.
So if there's an emergency, my earthquake light will go on.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
I didn't know. Must be an earthquake. My earthquake light went on.
Well, wait a minute. That's so that if your house starts falling down, you should put it near an exit. So
sure,
the only thing
that will survive is the earthquake light. Yeah, my house is falling down, but that earthquake light lasts forever.
I am no longer recommending the earthquake light.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's because we did it or they started making them and thought people are scared enough. When I talked about it, it was $49 on Amazon and $39 at the company's website.
Fair price, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was getting ready to gathering stuff for ABC News. And usually before I do a spot, like if it's a week or two later, I recheck everything. I go to the company's website. The list price is now $100, $99.99. And their discount price is $69.99.
Oh, no.
So it jumped $30.
Yeah, they're earthquake gouging.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't do that. Exactly. The nice thing about $10,000 in a jelly jar, it never costs more. Than $10,000, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, $10,000, I think, is a little excessive.
Is the $10,000 too much? Oh, now
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sell my earthquake light because that's good cash. That's good hard.
You know what?
Cash.
Soon that'll be
sure.
You save it another 2 weeks, it'll be worth $300.
Problem is, if there's an earthquake, is anybody going to want to buy another earthquake light?
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. Just keep your 30-day lantern and
I'm set.
And when you start shaking around, turn it on. It'll be cheaper.
Question number two. I mean, gadget number two.
Number two. Yes. Okay, you're going to go to YouTube video.
I always enjoy YouTube videos.
The second. I'll give you a little background. The guy in the video, his name is Richard Elden, E-L-D-E-N. And his company is called D Best Products. D, like just the letter D, B-E-S-T Products. Now, Richard's at the hardware show every year. And every year, whatever he has is the latest and greatest thing ever. And he's a lot of fun.
Is he like a hired, gun for
You know what? His business card doesn't say anything on it other than his name and the name of the company. I thought he owned the company. But the fun thing about Richard, he's very energetic about it. And whether or not you hold the microphone up to him or take the microphone away, he just goes.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good warning.
Right. So this is it.
There
this
we go, ladies and gentlemen.
His newest product, SmartCore. Okay.
It's a very short video. There we go.
Hey, Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest, trying to end the gizwiz. We're still at the National Hardware Show. I have so much stuff to carry. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But you know what? I'm wearing a shopping cart. Yeah.
I need
I am wearing a
this
shopping cart. I'm here at DB Products.
We make the best products.
He's a real salesman, so this is going to be a very painful spot. But we'll try and rein him in. So, Richard, this is called Smart Cart. Now, take it off my shoulder.
Show people what you can do.
This is the biggest smart cart. It's another size, actually. And what you do is, nothing weighs so little, holds so much, and folds thinner. Folds to only 2 inches. This one holds 125 pounds. And take a look. Let me show you.
I might get this because I have to walk to the grocery store. You know, this would be
folding
very...
it.
And it. Look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
And it rolls?
And this one.
Yeah, and...
And
ergonomic
can I drive
handle?
It around?
You're going to load a little bit more in it. So what you do is, you got the double handle here. Here's a regular smart cart. We just have the smaller handle because you don't load that much in it. Although, this can hold 110 pounds. This is sufficient to load in and out of the car,
now,
up and down the stairs.
Does this one have a telescoping handle also?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, all smart carts come with an ergonomic curvature in the handle. What that does is it allows you to pull more weight with less effort, and it reduces the strain on your lower back and your shoulders. Part of the patented design, we actually have multiple patents, both here in the U.S. and in other countries, and it's actually become the best-selling product in the history of our company. In only 6 months on the market, we've been making, patenting, designing, and selling products like this for 10 years.
Wait a minute. This is the 10th time I've come by this booth, and every year it's the largest selling, the best thing the company's ever come up with.
Well, you know what? That's because we get better and better products, and they're selling at higher and higher volume. We're very, very fortunate.
Okay.
Especially in the market.
He's
good.
Now, something like
this
must cost hundreds of dollars. I'm setting him up. Something like this must cost hundreds of dollars.
This one, the regular smart cart, sells between $25 to $30.
Oh, that's a good deal.
The bigger smart cart sells $35 to $40.
That's great.
And you can see I'm lifting them both up with my pinkies, and I'm not even trying.
Okay, now I'm going to get in one of them, and then you're going to lift it up. So now where are people finding these to buy?
You can always buy them from our company website at The Best Products. You go to Google, type in The Best Products, or go to www.thebestproducts.net, and you spell it like this.
D-V-E-S-T.
So a little bit of a unique spelling.
Okay. And three colors.
We have red, navy blue, and black in both sizes.
Okay, and they're available now, and you're shipping now. And
absolutely. We also have now cooler bags. That is an accessory.
Right? Wait a minute. You know, I only have a 9-hour show. Okay.
You know, we're developing the line more and more because it's
you don't even give him the mic. You just let him go. He just keeps talking.
Okay. This is really good, actually. Very clever. It's very light.
I do want one of these.
Smart Cart, and you can get it online. And the price is really reasonable. So, Dick D. Bartolo, Mads Maddest, try to end the GizWiz with this week's weekly daily GizWiz video, again from the 2012 National Hardware Show. I'm going to walk around and find more stuff.
That's great. Dick, I love that.
Yeah, no, the carts are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Especially that when, if you're going to a place to pick stuff up, you can wear it as a shoulder bag or a backpack, and that I like that a lot.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, the apartment I live in, there was no parking. You have to park across the street in the parking garage. So going shopping, but I can walk to the grocery store. It's just a few blocks. So I wanted to get one of those little, you know, carts like the little old ladies. I think it'd just be perfect for me to trail behind me. But this would be better because I can wear it as a backpack and then go into the store, do my shopping. And then they, and by the way, California's about to outlaw plastic bags. I mean, we kind of need to do something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this could be a solution. DBEST.net, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's not pulling anything up at all.
What?
Maybe they're on the lam.
No. DBEST. Oh, I'm sorry. DBEST. DBEST products.net.
Oh, products.net. You left out the products. Right. That's important. DBEST products. There it is. I got it now.
Okay.
Featuring the smart cart.
Right. Now, on the website, they are a little higher in price than he said. The little one is really reasonable. I think it's $29. And for some reason, the big one is $49, and it just holds a little bit more. So if you're on a budget, the regular smart cart would be good.
And how well made? Did you get a sense that they were well made?
You know what? I said to the guy... you know, I never got to touch one in person. How well are they made? He said, right. We'll just send you one and you can play with it. So if you want to wait a week, I can tell you next week.
Yeah, tell me next week how good those
are. Yeah, okay, good.
And I'm just going to check and see if DBEST, if they sell it on Amazon, because you know me. They do sell some of their other stuff.
Leo, I am loving Amazon. Thursday, we're doing a little project here, and I had my Makita drill. And
they do sell it on Amazon. It's cheap on Amazon.
Oh, how much?
Yeah. $26.31 for the normal size.
Right. Good. Okay.
So that's a lot less, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's only like $3 or $4, but it's free shipping.
Right, because if you got Amazon.
Because you're
Prime.
A Prime member.
And they have
I needed saw blades for my Makita jigsaw, and I ordered them Thursday. Amazon Prime, and this morning about 11 a.m., I get a text message, your package will arrive soon.
I know, I love that.
15 minutes later, the mailman rings the bell.
Isn't that amazing?
And, it's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, these are, they have a lot of, they have a rolling cartridge, carts, all sorts of stuff.
You know, they have the original, I think, like a milk crate that folds up out of plastic. But I like this a lot better because, you know, it's soft to the touch. And I think it was
So were you, Dick. And that's why I like you.
That's true. That's true. And you can fold me up and throw you on your back, too. And God knows you've done that enough.
Well, I just ordered one, and I'll give you the feedback. I'm going to get mine before you get yours, probably.
I'm probably correct.
I'm getting this on Monday.
It should be here by the end of the show because you had that super prime.
I have the super prime. Yeah, somebody comes to your door and delivers it for you.
Yes, right. Someone's standing outside the studio, and they actually tap into your Wi-Fi, and they go, he's ordering something, he's ordering something.
Quick, do we have it in the car? Yes, give it to him. They just call you ahead of time and say, what are the three products you'll be talking about? And Leo will be ordering shortly. I seem to buy everything you talk about, Dick. You're a very good salesman.
I'm not a very good salesman. I tend to talk about things that I really like.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three,
you probably don't need this, but I just thought it was a very interesting concept, which is why I'm talking about the ProSensor Stud Finder.
Oh, man.
Now, this is really neat. Now, over the years, there's been dozens of stud finders at the hardware show. This is from Franklin Sensors. So they're at franklinsensors.com. And the thing with most stud finders, you put them on the wall, you hold the on button, takes a few seconds, then a green light comes on to tell you it's calibrated. You slide it across, and when a light lights, that marks one end of the beam or the stud. Then you move it to the other side of where you think the stud is, and you move it on back until the light comes on, and then you draw a line. And between those two lines is the width of the stud. So this thing has a line of LEDs across the entire stud finder. So as you move it across the wall, a bunch of LEDs will light up. And you can tell by the number of LEDs how wide the stud is that you are on top of.
It's almost like seeing through the wall because the LEDs follow the stud as you move the stud.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if the studs are very close together, it can actually light up two different sets of LEDs to show you there's a stud here, and the LEDs that aren't lit is the amount of space between these two studs.
Some people need dual studs.
or they have
dual studs, and then they want to make sure they know that.
Especially on a holiday weekend, I would say that they're in great demand. You have an extra day off.
Is this the ProSensor 710 we're looking at?
That is the one. That is the one.
It's a professional stud sensor.
That's why it's $49.99.
Yeah, you know, if you have to, I guess if you only had to find studs once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot to spend.
I like it because as soon as I walked into the display, it turned
lit up.
And,
I think I'm in a steel frame building. I don't think I have wooden studs. So even if I found it, it wouldn't do me much good. You know, because I can't hammer into it.
You know what, I didn't realize that. They have steel studs.
I don't know.
In your walls?
You know who built the building that I live in? Lisa.
Lisa built a building.
Well, she's not by hand. But she was
wildly impressed. A few minutes.
She was the comptroller of the company. She did the finances for the building I'm in.
Oh, so, Leo, talk about hidden cash.
Yeah, no kidding. The walls are lined with them. I think those are gold studs, not steel. Yeah, Liz Romero was the rental agent until we hired her away from there. So I have an in there. Wow. I have an in there, so she'll know what's it. But I think it's steel, so you can. If I have steel studs, I get a special kind of screw. Okay, I can go right into the stud. If you have the right kind of, there's a joke there that I just don't want.
I don't want to go anywhere. I'm out of this.
Yeah, don't want to go anywhere near. It's just
3,000 miles. I'm safely 3,000 miles
away.
You're
smart. You're very smart. We'll just leave it right there, and.
All right, so that is available now, and they're at franklincensus.com. I believe it is also available on Amazon, and it is called the ProSensor 710.
Now, I have a turn-the-table turkey that I think you're going to like. I'm very excited about this. But before we do that, I would like to mention our friends, if you don't mind, at Netflix.com.
Oh, what are you kidding? I love
you
Netflix.
I know you live on Netflix. What is the last movie you saw?
You know what? I was, for some reason, looking for Three Stooges stuff. A made-for-TV movie came up about the Three Stooges.
You know, I'm going to watch this because I'll tell you why. I was very disappointed with that Three Stooges film that they opened and closed in 5 minutes.
I was going to say, that's what I was looking for, information on that.
I wanted a biopic.
Right. This is a bit of a... Actually, it's very good. It's only like an hour and a half, and I think it was made for HBO. I don't think it was a theatrical release. But I watched the whole thing, and I called Dennis down because he's a Stooges fan too.
Well, who isn't?
And
so there's quite a bit of there's original Three Stooges stuff from the 30s going back to the 40s. There's Three Stooges Curly Classics. There's Three Stooges, Merry Mavericks, Hapless Halfwits. It sounds like our show. The Three Stooges Festival. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
There's, in fact, 2,382 Three Stooges titles on Netflix. That's pretty amazing.
That is even more shows than the Two Stooges have done.
So here's the deal with Netflix. Now, I know, I think a lot of these actually are DVDs, and here's the problem. You get an urge for the Three Stooges. Are you going to want to wait till the DVD comes in the mail? No. You want to scratch that itch right away. And that's why I love streaming. If you go to the Netflix Watch Instantly area, now this you can watch on your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android phone, your PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, your Nintendo Wii, pretty much anything. If it's connected to the internet, you can stream great TV and movies right away as you have the urge. And that's what I really like. In fact, Netflix noticed this. They changed their recommendation system. They said it's very different. If somebody's going to order a DVD or watch it instantly, there's a huge difference. And one of the things that they realized is if there's the lower barrier to entry of streaming means people will watch a lot of crap that they wouldn't watch otherwise. And or not necessarily crap, but just like Three Stooges, like stuff that I'm not going to get a DVD to watch the Three Stooges. But if I can watch it right now, it's kind of, I actually might watch it right now. Great TV shows, Breaking Bad, Arrested Development. By the way, Netflix is going to be bringing Arrested Development back and producing it under their own label. They're doing a lot of that. Serenity, Chinatown, Amadeus, The Big Lebowski, The Graduate. These are just movies I've recently watched. Being John Malkovich, OSS 117, Spinal Tap, Train Spotting, Exit Through the Gift Shop, great documentary about Banksy, Ghostbusters, Clockwork Orange, Memento, Heathers. These are the movies I've watched recently. Swingers. The Producers, Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder. Oh, let's just watch that. Forget the show. We're just going to watch The Producers. Forget I even talked about it. Well, the show is over. Goodbye. Netflix.com/twit. Try it free for 30 days. Now, I know you all know about this. So may I make a suggestion? Tell your friends. Tell your family. Netflix.com/twit. 30 days free. right now. $7.99. Oh, this is the greatest movie ever. We take you now to the offices of Max Bialystock, theatrical producer, played by Zero Mostel in a red velvet smoking jacket. And there she is, a little old lady, his investor, and they're just having a fabulous love play.
Checky can't produce plays without checkies.
You can count on me, you dirty young man.
This was one of the greatest comedies of all time. Zero Mostel, Gene Wilder. That's all I need to say. Bialystok and Bloom. Bialystok and Bloom. And you see how I can zip through this and pick? Like, so, no, so this is, again, this is stream. If I want to watch a frame, I want to watch the great Kenneth Mars talking to him about his play Springtime for Hitler. Here they are. Oh. And then he gets his pen out, the contract out, and they get Kenneth.
Dear Franz Liebt, can sign here and make your dream a reality. Here it is, Springtime for Hitler, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, my gosh, this is such a great movie. And, of course, they choose for their Hitler. Oh, you got to see this guy. The strangest hippie dude. He's wearing a Campbell's soup can around. Who's this actor? Come on, you know, Dick.
Oh, I do. It is. Oh, come on, chat room, help.
Dick Shawn, thank you.
Yeah,
the great Dick Shawn. Is this not one of the great movies of all time? All right, enough of that. We could end up spending the whole time watching this show. I'm going to turn it off, and I'm going to stop watching in a minute. But
Yeah, right.
That's the power of love. So, Netflix.com/twit. Thank you, Netflix, for your support. And you just got a long damn ad. It's time for me to do my thing, and I'm going to stop the movie so that I can do it. But, Dick, it does require of you a little dramatic entrance, if you don't mind.
Yes. Dick DiBartolo, yes, one time during this podcast, this netcast, this whatever you want to call it, Leo gets to pick a gadget of his own. I know we've laughed at the toothpick bird, feared the 2x4. Let's see what it is today on his TTTT turn the table turkey.
Leo looks under his desk to find some crap to share. Dick says, put this fork away.
I found chocolate mints.
It's turkey time. Actually, this is something that
we've sort of altered it that it could be a turkey or it could be a treasure.
This I'm thinking is a treasure. It's certainly something Logitech sent us for review for the Before You Buy show, and I like it so much I'm trying to keep it. Unfortunately, it's got somebody's name written. Oh, that's you, Bob. So I guess I won't be keeping the iPad. You're smart. He got the iPad, but maybe I'll get to keep the thing I've got on top of it. So let me show you real quickly, because what this looks like, perhaps, is an iPad. This is the most recent, right? But I think this would work with an iPad 1, or rather an iPad 2, not the iPad 1. But and then it looks like I've got a matching aluminum cover, right? So it looks like it's got a nice cover, and I could open it up, and then there would be the iPad and the cover. But look at this. It's not just a cover. It is a keyboard. Yes, it's got the smart cover magnetic latch, so it goes right on it.
Wow.
But also, it's got a groove, a white groove in the center that the magnets also sit in. And so it's a very nice
stand,
right? It's at a good angle for viewing if you're sitting up in the landscape mode. It's enough of a groove that you could put it in also in the perpendicular mode, but it doesn't feel quite as sturdy as it does when it uses the magnets in the landscape mode. So let's put it back in there. And then you're going to love this. This keyboard here, this is a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard that works with Bluetooth. You have to pair it to the, let me start a new note and I can show you what it can do. You pair it to the iPad, and now and you've seen these before. We've seen a great many of them. In fact, Logitech sells one from Zag. This is a nice keyboard, very easy to type on, that works perfectly well with the iPad. I can type onto it. So it is easily the smallest. In fact, that's why Logitech calls it the ultra-thin keyboard for the iPad. Smallest iPad keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard, and you don't have to really carry a separate device because it is a case as well. So it is and a fairly thin case. This doesn't add a huge amount. In fact, you could compare it to the Smart Cover. It's only slightly thicker and slightly heavier than the Smart Cover. Has an on-off switch to save you battery life. USB charging to charge the battery up. You get about 12 hours of battery life on this. I have to say, I think Logitech did this right. $99. It's the Logitech Ultra Thin. Now, they have others. Keyboard case. So you want to make sure you get the right one. It's the one that looks like it's a case for it. It's not, they have bigger, thicker ones. This is the one, this is the ultra thin, and that's the one you want. I have to say, I really like it.
Yeah, that makes a really nice.
Isn't that
package.
Nice? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're carrying one of those ultra books with you.
Yeah, $99. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's smaller than an ultra book, of course. $99. Mm-hmm. It's called the ultra thin keyboard cover. Actually, that's what you're looking for, the cover thing, because that's exactly what it is. It's a cover. It uses the smart magnets in the iPad 2 and 3 to attach it. Now, they say 6-month battery life on a full charge, so 12 hours if you're using it constantly. You know, but 6 months on a full charge is a long time, and it's USB charging, so it makes it very easy to charge it up. If you charge it up, that's based on average use of 2 hours per day for 6 months. So actually, it's many more hours than I was quoting. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's not 12 hours. It is 2 times 30 times 6. So it's like 480 hours of battery life.
You know, the regular cover is like $60, isn't it?
The smart cover is 40 or 50, I think, but but it doesn't do very much. This is actually
it covers.
It's going to do a lot more. By the way, just kind of a couple of little things. For instance, when you have to unlock it, you don't have to tap the keypad in front. You can actually unlock it from the keyboard itself. That's pretty. Oh. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's very quiet, so this would be great for a student. It doesn't clunk along. I like it. And you can, by the way, get it engraved on the other side as well. So that's pretty cool. Let's see what else. There's a button here that will, if you tap it, will zoom around in the screen. So if you have an app open, for instance, and you tap this little screen button on it, it will go back to the home screen. You tap it again, it'll go to the search screen. And, of course, you can start typing a search right away, which makes it really easy to use to quickly navigate around. In fact, in a way, this is almost touchless navigation with it. So really, really impressive. Instant on and off because it's using the smart cover and the smart magnets to turn it on and off. You do have to have an iPad 2 or an iPad 3 to use this. It's too thick to use with the iPad 1. It does require the smart cover capability. So a 2 or 3. 6 months between charges.
Yeah.
With an average use of 2 hours a day. I have to say, I'm really this is the first one. I've seen a lot of them. This is the first one that I really want to buy. Somebody's asking, is it backlit? It is not backlit. And that's probably to save battery life. That would be nice. You have enough light probably, even in the dark, you have enough light coming off the iPad probably so you can see the keys pretty well. It has some special features on the top, the keys here. The function keys, they've got cut, copy, paste. So that's kind of handy too, something you can't really do normally. You have to hold it and do all this complicated stuff. They have volume controls right here. Let's press some of these buttons and see what else it'll do. This is kind of fun exploring around. The other thing I like about it is once you use this case, you no longer have the keyboard sliding up on the iPad. The iPad's smart about Bluetooth keyboards. It will default to the case. So you don't have to ever worry about screen resolution taken up on the iPad screen. So this is pretty sweet. $99. which I think is exactly the right price. It is both a case and a keyboard and a stand, and does a very nice job. That's the Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard cover, and it has not shipped yet. It's supposed to ship sometime in June. So you can pre-order it now on the Logitech site or at Amazon.com. I'm super impressed. I am super impressed by this. This is, they do have, if you want a backlit keyboard, they do sell one that's a Bluetooth keyboard that you can use, I think, with backlighting, but I wouldn't recommend it because you're just going to use up too much light. Just get over it. Okay? Just get over it and just, you know.
Just don't go into those dark places.
Yeah, don't stop going into dark places, okay? Stop doing it. This is the one I bet you see everywhere. Really super cool. And I would say if you make sure you plug this in and charge it every time you charge your iPad, you're never going to have to worry about that. Wait a minute. No, it looks like it might be in stock now. Oh, this is some good news. This they have apparently started shipping. I just went to the Amazon page, and now it's $98.95 on Amazon, Amazon Prime, now in stock. The Ultra.
Whoa.
Yes, I have a feeling we just sold about three, and they're all to me. Yeah, you don't? Do you have an iPad? I don't think you do.
I do not. Yeah. I do not. But I'm still going to buy that case because...
Well, you don't need an iPad. The case is so good, you don't need
it. No, I'll just use it. I'll put a picture of an iPad in it. Yeah. I can't stand for
that,
you to have
that's
too
probably
much
all
stuff.
You need.
Yeah, that's it.
8 millimeters thick. How about that? Huh?
Wow.
Wow. Now how much would you pay? All right, Dickie D. That means I'm completed my portion of the show. That means it's time for us to take a little stroll. I know many of you are avid hikers and walkers, and it's time for us to wander Manhattan. Sometimes we do this for hours, sometimes days. Bring a sandwich, because you never know when you'll find Dick's Gadget Warehouse. You might take one of those backpack shopping bags, too.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play. In Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the little old gadget master, Dick DiBartolo.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
now,
sir.
I have a name. And you may know the name only because you may have read it this past week, because this gentleman passed on, Eugene Pauley, P-O-L-L-E-Y.
I don't know Eugene Pauley.
Oh, yet. Okay. He invented something very clever. He invented, see if you can guess what it was. The device he invented, this was 1955, and he invented Flashmatic.
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 Okay. Well, I'll give it away by saying who he worked for. He worked for
Kodak?
Zenith.
Zenith?
Yes.
The quality goes in, and then we take it out, and we ship it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a remote control is what the studio audience...
That is correct.
Says it's the remote control.
The first remote control... And it was visual light. So in the corners of the screen, there were little photo cells that would react to the... I remember it looked like a little pistol, actually. And you aimed it at the screen and you could turn the set on and off and change channels. That was pretty much it.
Did it click? But it was pretty... Did it go thunk?
The tuners back then...
Remember that you had to press them and there was almost a hydraulic thing that would happen?
I don't remember. But the one before this, I don't know if you remember this. There used to be a chain of stores called the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
They sold this device. I wish I had this in the warehouse. It actually clamped onto that big tuna control. Then there was a big thick wire that ran across your living room rug. And then you would activate this thing, and a little physical knob would go clunk.
Chunk.
Yes, exactly. Chunk. And it could only go in one direction. So if you were going from 4 to channel 2, you had to go through all the other
chunk,
channels.
Chunk,
to,
chunk, yeah,
yeah. Until it came back around.
Wow. Now, let me ask you, do you have one of these?
No, I do not. So what I tried to do was find some remote control thing.
This thing looks like a, I'm just looking at it. It looks like a radar gun for, you know, a cop. I mean, it's, or a blow dryer. I mean, this does not, this looks funny. It's not what you would, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, because, yeah, exactly. You know, I was thinking of a different one. I didn't find that particular photo.
This is a history of TV remote controls at electronichouse.com. And this is the first one, as you say, the Zenith Flashmatic. Boy, that's, and then maybe you remember this, the Space Commander 600.
The Space Commander.
You remember that? Yeah.
Several generations after
that.
Yeah,
that was the one I was thinking of that we thought was the clicker, because it would go, boom. and you could only go higher or lower on the channel. You couldn't.
Yes, just five buttons on those early things. So what I do have in the warehouse is Remote Buddy. So I try to. This is kind of actually a nice blending of things. It mentions Eugene, who passed away. It's a throwback to the hardware show that we've done a bunch of shows on. And it's a device that I think may have already come to the end of its life in just 3 years.
Wow.
Remote Buddy is a place where you would slide four remote controls.
Oh, it's a remote control caddy.
Caddy, except each slot came with its own color transmitter that you glued onto the back of each remote control.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So then you go, oh, the orange remote control is missing. So you push the orange button on Remote Buddy.
Oh, dear.
And it would activate.
By the way, this is the first remote control with a cup holder.
Yes. Oh, Leo, that is what's so funny.
It has a cup holder.
What happened was, the remote controls are really too big for the size of the pockets. So every time you put a remote in there, it would fall over and knock all the others out. And everything would fall right. So I finally gave up on Remote Buddy, but I kept the cup holder. Normally it's the other way
it's
around.
It's an excellent cup holder.
Yes. When I first got it, I said, I'm not going to. I'll put the cup holder in the warehouse. I'll never need it.
Oh, so then, my God.
When Dennis started bringing drinks in, I thought, wait a minute. I'm going to put Remote Buddy in the warehouse and bring the cup holder back home because I'm using that.
That's very funny.
The name of the company is Stuck on Tools. And the website is still up, but I wonder what's going on there, because if you click New Gadgets, Remote Buddy shows up. If you click on buy it, it says, sorry, shopping cart unavailable.
Oh.
And it's been that way for about 10 days now.
That's too bad.
Maybe they're rethinking it, or I know they were not at the hardware show this year. But if you're saying, Dick, this is the best thing I ever heard of, there are one or two places online still selling Remote Buddy for about $39.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Remote Buddy from Stuck On Tools.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yes, we have.
Well, let's see. That seems to be the end of the gadget portion. There is remaining only one portion on this show. And as you can see, Dick is preparing. He's collating. He's aggregating. And he's ready to read the letter of the week. Before you read the letter, I just want to send a 5-minute warning. We're about ready to conclude the show, I believe. A 5-minute warning to anybody who might need to get in costume for our next episode, our next program, This Week in Twit, which usually comes after this. If anybody needs to get in costume for This Week in Twit, now would be the time. All right.
Okay. Oh, Myra's going out. Did you mean Myra?
I meant Myra, going? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or anybody watching at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have a comment posted on my website, and I have a letter. First, a comment, which is very funny. On my website, Arbiter posted this comment on the topic of weird things to put motors on. Last week we talked about cruising cooler. This is a cooler that you actually put beer in and ice in and then drove. So under
what a great idea.
What a great idea. Under the description of cruising cool, Orbiter wrote, on the top of weird things to put motors on, there's a company called Hossfly, H-O-S-S Fly, and they make motorized bar stools. Now, unlike the coolers, the bar stools are powered by V8 engines.
Oh, that doesn't sound good at all.
They are at HossflyInc.com, HossflyInc.com. So if you would like to get on a bar stool powered and sit on top of a V8 engine.
And then just drive off.
And then just drive off.
After you've had sufficient alcoholic beverages, just drive away.
Is that I thought cruising cooler was bizarre, but
this is a fairly hefty engine. The good news is it has a steering wheel.
Yes, that's well. Don't forget the
here we go. And it also sounds like a Briggs and Stratton engine on that thing. Oh, listen to him. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is more of a vehicle than a bar stool. I mean, I think the bar stool is just a small portion.
Yeah, yes, the bar. Well, it's basically the smallest thing you can sit on if you want to sit on top of a car engine.
By the way, this is not street legal.
No.
But it might be bar legal.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it has four wheels, so you're safe as long as the bar is pretty big.
Now, there's only one bar in the entire country, Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, Texas, that this would be of any use in.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Because that's a bar that's so big that it actually has a rodeo arena in the bar.
Oh, okay.
Forget the mechanical bull. They've got live bulls in the bar.
Wow.
Billy Bob's Texas is an amazing bar, and it is so big that you probably could use this. I don't understand. I just don't understand. What's the point?
I don't know. You're not even carrying beer with you. Yeah.
This might have been invented at Billy Bob's, Texas, actually.
It was certainly invented after a few beers. Amount of alcohol.
You know what would be great? What? If I could drive this bar stool on out of here.
Well, okay. Well, that's a $100 million idea.
I don't care. I'm going to make it. Oh, you mean that they pay me $100 million? All right.
Yeah.
I'll buy one.
I don't think so.
Well,
and now on to our letter. And actually, our letter brings up a question that I wondered about. And since you know all, you might be able to clear this up. It's from our friend Ofer. We haven't heard from Benary in San Diego. We've not heard from him in a while. Mm-hmm. And he writes, I had an interesting experience of the bad kind. I needed to back up photos and music on my Samsung Galaxy Nexus Android phone. The charger is detachable USB, moved it from a little box, plugged it in the wall, attached it to the USB port on my computer. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Computer didn't recognize the phone. The phone didn't recognize the computer. It did charge. Would a different USB cable work? I dug out another one. No charge. Same with 2 out of 3. I emptied out the box, and I finally found the original cable that came with the phone. Looks no different. When I plugged it in the computer, instant connection. Yeah. Files could be downloaded.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did. There's obviously something different about the cable that comes with the phone. If other manufacturers are doing this, there's no point in universal USB connection since we have dozens of these cables, each serving just one device.
I agree. That is illegal, I believe, in Europe now.
There was... I had this, Leo. I have the Droid 4.
Right.
I have a little cable on top of my nightstand that plugged all my other phones. One night I plugged this in the morning. I didn't even look. I took it up. I got to mad. It was dead.
Yeah.
So the phone lit, but it didn't charge.
Yeah, I think that Ofer's right. There is a USB standard that should be adhered to. But it's possible, of course, to design a phone that looks like it's using a USB cable, but it's using a proprietary cable. There's no law against doing that in the U.S., but in the European Union, They because remember we used to have every phone had its own power adapter, right?
It was yes, it was ridiculous.
So in the European Union, they required that everybody support micro USB. That's why as you when you get phones nowadays, they all have micro USB ports on them. I don't know how Apple's getting around this. They still use their proprietary, 30-pin connector on here. I think what they do is in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what they do in Europe is they ship a dongle with this that gives it a USB port, but I'm not sure.
Or maybe
a dock.
No, I saw an ad for a smartphone charger, a battery that would recharge smartphones, and on the bottom it said, some new smartphones have a chip that requires
the
charger be from the company.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's bad news, isn't it?
So that sounds like it's something new. I know this has been around in the past. I hope this isn't a new trend. That would be terrible.
I hope not, too. Yeah.
You have to use the company's USB because that really doesn't, you know, the whole point of this, it's been great lately because all the phones use micro USB and all the cables are standard. And you almost certainly have a variety of chargers you can use. But that would be disappointing if they go back to that. Do not buy a phone that does that. Let's say that. How about that?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You go into the store with your USB cable and say, I'll buy this phone
if this cable works.
USB. Let's just plug this in the wall right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
So Padre SJ says, Motorola doesn't have a chip, but it does check for data when you plug in the charger using a standard USB cable. If it detects a live data pin, in other words, if you're connecting to a computer, it will not charge. You have to connect it to just a plug, no data.
Oh, okay.
Now, Padre knows a lot. He's going to be the host of a new show on Twit called This Week in Enterprise Tech. And he's a priest, so you can believe him.
Oh, this is good.
Yes.
This is good. Tech confessions. Electronic confessions.
Oh, I like that idea.
This is good.
Yes.
This is good.
Yeah. So, That makes sense. So what Motorola is doing is they're checking to see if you're plugged into a computer, then they go, okay, I won't charge, but now we have a data connection. And if you plug into the wall with an adapter, obviously, nobody should plug a USB port into your plug socket. That sounds very dangerous. With an adapter, then Friar Tech says that should work.
Friar Tech.
Like, that's what we call it.
That is so great.
I did not. The chat room made that up, but
I love the idea.
Yeah.
That is so clever.
Yes. He responds to a higher authority.
Yes.
So, Dick, we've come to the end of this fabulous show.
Yes.
Would you like another mint for the road?
Have something else to be thankful for.
Here's another.
The show.
It's over.
Yeah, give me
another mint for the road. Go ahead. Take one.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. It's a giant hand. I don't like that. It looks like you got two there. thank you. It was Adam Curry. Adam Curry.
Want some jelly? Want some?
I'll take what's in it. What flavor is it?
No,
cabbage flavored jelly.
Yeah, no. Myra is of the same thinking. Myra just put $500 in here.
Really?
She just said, can I take this on the train home?
Because that's smart. Would you like some of my jelly, Junior?
It's not jelly, Grandma. That's cold hard cash.
Are you picnicking, or what are you doing for Memorial Day?
I'm going to wear a cat suit. What am I doing for Memorial Day? I don't know. Actually, I should picnic, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we're going to picnic in the yard.
Are you in the yard?
I thought this was funny. I picked up some picnic stuff today.
Giant Gouldens.
Right, I love Gouldens mustard.
Yeah,
and I see the bigger than the French's label.
50% more. Yeah,
right. Okay, and I went to put it on some cheese earlier for lunch, and I looked down, and it says 18 ounces, 15% more than our 12 ounces. Is that a right?
It's true of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, but doesn't it make it look
like
you're getting
you get more in there.
More
yeah.
for free?
There's less air in the bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, the tiny little print down there. Than if you bought the 12-ounce.
50% more than the 12-ounce variety.
Yeah. I bet their 64-ounce is 50% more than their 32.
It's 100% more. It's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a better deal.
That's twice as much mustard as in the half-size container.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I'm going to just picnic in the yard, I think.
All right. All right. Well, enjoy your lovely Memorial Day weekend.
You too, sir.
Thank you for being here. We will see you next time on the weekly
Daily.
Here.
Gizwiz.
Timing.
It's all That's about timing. One. Yeah. It's all about yeah. Timing. I hate it when we step on each other.
Thank you, Dickie D.
I kind of like it. Okay.
Step on me. All righty. All righty.